you're designed to do a certain thing, let's go for that full tilt. And then what's amazing is that your life starts to work.
Hi, thanks for joining me on Resonate, Conversations and Life Lessons from Rancho La Puerta. I'm your host, Barry. My special guest today is Leslie McQuirk. She's an internationally recognized astrologer, author, and teacher who's been teaching and presenting for over 30 years. With a background as an artist and an award-winning children's book author, she brings a rare and creative approach to astrology, one that focuses on patterns, timing, and real-life applications rather than predictions. Her work has been embraced by doctors, therapists, and leaders around the world. She is known for making astrology accessible, empowering, and a useful tool for understanding ourselves and others. Hi, Leslie. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, I've been looking forward to it. So where are you coming from today? Where are you at?
Florida.
You're in Florida. Okay. So you're 3 hours ahead of me. So let's just jump right in. I was reading that as a child, you were told you had no artistic talent, yet you've sold 2 million children's books worldwide and you've become a famous designer in Japan. What motivated you to push through that?
It was all because of at age 19, my mother sent me to an astrologer who looked at my chart, my natal chart, and she said, "You are insanely creative. What are you doing with your talent?" I said, "Nothing. I've always been told I can't draw." And I felt like she was grabbing me by the scruff of the neck and holding me up and saying, "You have got to do this. You are so talented. You're getting a very late start." And I ended up transferring from Bowdoin College to Sarah Lawrence. And Sarah Lawrence is a very creative school. And she said, "This is so lucky that you're going to be in a place where you'll find teachers who can nurture your talent," which was incredibly true. And all of this was very unexpected. And I decided that she must be right, because everything else she said about my personality and my childhood and how I felt internally was so accurate that I started to tell myself that I was going to be an artist and a writer. And it all happened. And it's very true that I was told before age 19 that I couldn't draw and that my handwriting was terrible. And then I became famous in Japan as a designer. And guess what? They love my handwriting.
Well, what made your mom decide to take you to an astrologer at age 19? Because that's something my mom would have never thought of doing.
I think my mother was very intuitive. And where I grew up in Bronxville, New York, going to see an astrologer was not part of the vernacular in our culture. And I think my mother decided to send me because she was worried about me. She knew that my first year at Bowdoin College was not great. And I was very confused about my life and what I wanted to do. And she had known this astrologer's mother, who was a very elegant woman. And she heard this astrologer give a talk at the Women's Club of Bronxville, and she thought she was very smart. And if she hadn't met her in this lecture setting, she would probably never have sent me to her. But she said, "This maybe will help my daughter." And it totally changed my life, Barry, because I finally felt like somebody saw me. They knew who I was. And that's the greatest gift that astrology can give anyone, is a sense that you're being seen, and how powerful that is when the person is a total stranger.
So now, you did a TED talk, and it was called "The Importance of Being Wrong." What does being wrong have to do with creativity?
So I believe creativity is about putting things together that don't normally go together. So in order to do that, you have to be incredibly brave. Because the definition of creativity is that it's never existed before. And most people are terrified of true creativity. Because what people want to do is they want to put you in a box. They want to say, "Oh, well, you're this or you're that." But if you're truly a creative person, you're going to be very different. And nobody knows what to do with a truly creative person, because we're going to be breaking boundaries and mixing things up. And I try to make, when I'm doing a book, every page has something on it that's different than something you ever expected. So creativity is about being brave. And most people are terrified of creativity, actually. That's why a lot of people say, well, I can't draw. You know, I can't even draw a stick figure. Mm. And it's not really true, because creativity is really up here in the brain. It's not so much, right. It's not so much in the hand.
So when you use the word wrong, what you're really saying is out of the box, different than what other people have seen. And yes, I feel like we definitely resist that a lot. You've also mentioned that. So when did you start studying astrology and doing astrology as a profession?
I started studying the day after I walked out of the door of the astrologer's apartment. I literally went to she told me what bookstore to go to, and I started buying books, and I was terrified, and I thought I was entering this world of the occult. And that really scared me, because occult means it's hidden. And it was like this hidden knowledge. And I studied astrology almost every single day, because I was obsessed with trying to figure out, how did this woman do this? And I realized now that what she was doing was reading my musical score. So we live in an electromagnetic universe, and we have, when we're born, a pattern. It's like an owner's manual that's in your car glove compartment, but it's also like music theory, in that you could go to 20 astrologers, they'll give you a different interpretation. And there's a good way to play your piece of music, and there's a bad way. It is not fortune telling at all. It's a way of seeing your design, so that you can play your piece of music at the highest vibration possible. And when done that way, it's one of the most beautiful things on earth. And it's also one of the most misunderstood, because people think an astrologer is going to tell your fortune and predict your future. And that's not really what it's about at all. So anyway, I started studying at age 19, and I started doing it professionally when I was about 45, 50, I think.
Wow. So that's a lot of studying before you.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, I was a successful author and illustrator and a designer for Takashimaya in Japan. How do you go from that to telling people, oh, now I'm going to be an astrologer, who's basically I have no training in art at all. And I have no training as an astrologer either. I'm completely self-taught in everything I've done. So the idea of being an astrologer scared me, because I thought, wait a minute. My whole life is about drawing little puppy dogs and kittens and animals out and doing their things. I don't really draw people. And now I'm going to be sitting down with total strangers and telling them about their life. And I thought, oh my God, the pressure. What if I'm wrong? What if I say something that it could, not be accurate? So I think astrology is, when you first start doing it, an incredibly a scary profession, because you have to have unbelievable gifts of communication in order to explain to people what they're like, because everyone's perfect. There's never anybody who's not designed a particular way that it's not negative. It's just, again, different. So someone could say, oh, you have a really bad chart, or that's like saying you're wrong. Something's the matter with you. There's nothing wrong with any of us. But if you have a chart that makes you into looking like a giraffe and you live with a family of mice, you're going to feel as if you're completely wrong, because you're different. So get back to everything we just said before. It's about allowing us to be exactly what we are designed to be. And when you do that, you are actually completely right.
And you mentioned that astrology gives it's someone's owner manual. So we each have a very individual and different manual.
Yes.
That we come with, supposedly.
Yes. Yes.
Right. So what is the difference? Most people that I know, they look in the newspaper, they look in a magazine. There's a one paragraph thing, I'm a Leo. This is what's happening for me this week. So what's the difference between that and what you're doing?
Okay, there's absolutely no correlation
at all.
at all. There's nothing. Those horoscopes are for entertainment. They're not terribly accurate. They're right. fun. And sometimes people will feel like they're accurate because they're basically kind of general. And sometimes it can right. be comforting or make sense. And it's always fun to read them. But no, what I do is completely different in that we are going with my client. We are going into very deep details about every aspect of your life. And the person, when I'm doing a reading with them, they look at the chart at the same time I do. And we look at it using creativity as the way to get at it by describing the chart using just metaphors. I don't ever talk about astrology ever.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, look, you have a orchestra pit here, and all these red lines are where two parts of your orchestra pit are drumming with each other. So I ask them, are drums bad? No, but drums, if you listen to them nonstop all the time, you're going to get a headache. So we want to fine tune what's happening in your chart so you don't get stuck in places where it can be a little harsher. So drums are a little harsher than listening to flutes or violins or harps. And we really need to start thinking about astrology, in my opinion, as being something that is not fortune telling, but a beautiful, incredibly accurate way of describing our human design, our pattern. We have a pattern, like everything in nature, Barry, has a pattern,
right.
whether it's a snowflake or a rhinoceros's horn or a flower. What makes us think that we don't have a pattern? And when we look at just the moon, which is a rock in space that's regulating every body of water on planet Earth, and we're 80% water, there's a correlation between that moon and us. That's why full moons bring out more deaths and more babies and more activities in hospitals and police stations. So if you extrapolate it out and take all those other rocks in space and realize that they're all having an influence, mm-hmm. but they're not predictive because mm-hmm. it's an influence. And that's how I look at astrology. But again, if we see an influence and it looks like it's going to rain for 5 days on your chart, metaphorically speaking, then you're going to take the right steps to protect yourself. You'll bring a umbrella and you'll make exactly. sure you don't hang out on a golf course when it's lightning. You know, that's where astrology can help and be slightly predictive. And it can say, look, if you're designed to do a certain thing, let's go for that full tilt. And then what's amazing is that your life starts to work.
Right. Do you consider astrology a science?
It's an esoteric science. Yes. It's okay. a lot like acupuncture. So 50 years ago, acupuncture was not part of modern medicine. And people thought it was crazy. Oh, you're going to put a needle in my foot and it's going to help my lower back. Well, acupuncture is dealing with meridians and our electromagnetic body, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to 20 acupuncturists and get a different outcome. Astrology is exactly the same. It's an interpreted science. So acupuncture is an interpreted science as well. And you get to have your chart realigned, basically, which is what acupuncture does as well. So yeah, I consider it a science, but it's an esoteric and interpreted science.
Right. And you have been working with medical doctors.
Many.
And how did they find you, and how does that relationship work?
So it's wild. I never went looking for them, as most things in my life I've learned. If I go looking for things, it doesn't usually work out. But if I allow things to come to me, it works out. So I started working with a lot of therapists because as I was starting my career as an astrologer, I kept seeing that people had a lot of trauma. So I started sending them to EMDR therapists. I'm a big fan of EMDR. So astrology is like taking your car into a shop, and I look under the hood, I look at your four tires, and I'm a diagnostic person, but I'm not a mechanic. So I send people, I have a lot of mechanical people that I refer my clients to, and EMDR therapists are one of the main things that I do because they can help at a mechanical level when we have a little bug in our machinery. So I think EMDR, which stands for eye motion desensitization reprocessing, it's a way of going into the brain or into the chart and actually easing up on some of the inherent trauma that some of us were born with. So that the therapeutic part of it, all of a sudden, all these therapists that I was sending people to started talking with each other, and then they'd send me to other therapists. And I work with, I don't know, over 20, 30, what do they call them? Psychotherapists, social workers. There are so many different titles that they have. And then what happened next is that doctors started calling me because they were hearing from their clients about how I helped them with health issues. And that's been incredibly interesting for me to realize that people who have suffered with major health issues that cannot be resolved, and all of a sudden in one session, I figure out why they're sick and what they need to do in order to get better. So one of the people I worked with was actually a doctor I met at Rancho La Puerta. He was head of integrative medicine at NYU. And he came to my talk at the ranch and he said, wow, I just saw what you were doing with people, because I moved people around the room according to different, very specific things in their chart. And he said, you were incredibly accurate. I wonder what you can do with my patients. And I said, I would love to work with you. So we did an experiment. Mm-hmm. And I said, you have to send me your patients, but I can't know their first name, last name, email address, phone number, nothing, because I want you to know I did not Google them. So we started with six patients, all people that he had trouble helping because they were not getting better. And at the end, I said, okay, how accurate was I? For every one of those people, he said, you are 95 or higher percent accurate with every single one. And two of them, I figured out why they were sick, and they are now, they would follow me to the ends of the earth because nobody else could figure out why they were ill. And a lot of times, physical problems are stemming from trauma, unresolved trauma. Sometimes people don't even associate things that happen to them as being that bad, but that's because when you're little, you tend to downplay it.
Wow, that's super interesting. So, and you can figure it out by looking at the person's owner's manual and deciding what is, like, you should be using this oil, but you're using the wrong oil.
Right, exactly. Yeah, basically. So I'm looking at everyone as if they're a car, and I'm able to see mechanically where in your design there is a problem. So another great story that I could tell you is a woman who had horrible migraines. And I've been featured on Coast to Coast Radio for the last 10 years. And I was telling people about the work I'm doing with doctors. So this woman called me and she said, I don't even believe you can help me, but my mother's forcing me to have this call with you. And I explained to her that the reason her headaches were not going away was because no one had figured out why she was getting them. So one of the problems with Western medicine is that they treat the symptoms. And if you don't get to the root cause of why you have the problem in the first place, then it tends to just stay there stuck. So in her chart, I said, I'm going to give you a protocol for you to get rid of your headaches. But we start with this, then we do this, this, and this. And she did everything I said. And she hasn't been sick ever since. And she had gone to five neurologists all over the country. She had plenty of money to go get the best treatment everywhere. They were not able to help her, Barry.
Right.
And it used to be that astrology was part of medicine. Hippocrates, the father of medicine, where everyone signs the Hippocratic Oath if they're going to be a doctor, he's the one who said any doctor who practices medicine and doesn't understand astrology is not a doctor, but a fool. So it used to be that medicine and astrology were connected.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, I promise you, it will be connected again, just like acupuncture is part of medicine.
Yeah. Well, with stories like that, I can see how it will become connected one day.
Hi, I'm Ruth Carrion. I spent the last 4 years living in Orange County, recently moved back to Texas and Austin. While I was in Orange County, I was familiar with the ranch because they advertised on the LAist public radio. So of course, public radio did their pledge drive. I called in because they were promoting this ranch, and I won a 1 week gift certificate to the ranch and thought it was pretty cool. Invited my sister, she's here with me, but I didn't appreciate just how special that was until I came here and everybody in the community is making it such a celebration that I'm here because of that donation to NPR. So it helped me feel good. that's why I'm here. The community has really uplifted the celebration. So I'm happy to be here.
I hope you're enjoying today's podcast as much as I am. To learn more about our wonderful presenters and exciting weeks coming up at the ranch, go to rancholaporta.com and check out our events calendar. Make sure to mention the podcast when making your reservation to take advantage of a special offer. Some restrictions may apply. I hope you're enjoying today's podcast as much as I am. To learn more about our wonderful presenters and exciting weeks coming up at the ranch, go to rancholaporta.com and check out our events calendar. Make sure to mention the podcast when making your reservation to take advantage of a special offer. Some restrictions may apply. You wrote a book and it's called The Power of Mercury.
Yes.
So Mercury being a planet, and in astrology, Mercury seems to be the planet that everyone is always talking about. And Mercury in retrograde seems to mean that everything's going to go to hell. So, right. Why is Mercury so important, and why did you write that book?
One reason I wrote the book was I was really tired of everyone complaining about Mercury retrograde. And I think to myself, hey, people, let's think about this a minute. You're going to let a rock in space determine whether or not you're happy or not, or make decisions about your life. It is an influence, but it's something you have to understand. If you're going to get all freaked out about Mercury retrograde, let me write a book and explain to you what's really going on here so that you can work with it. So the first point is that 3-4 times a year for a couple weeks, Mercury looks like it's going backwards, but it really isn't. And because Mercury rules communication and travel and signing contracts and anything written, people think everything's going to go haywire during the times when it's going, looks like it's going backwards. What it is, it's basically a time when, if we use the car analogy, it's when you can finally put your car in reverse. Mm. Is that a bad thing? Think about how useful reverse is if you are trying to back out of your driveway. Or let's say you want to parallel park. But what happens is that we as humans think that the only good thing is to go full speed ahead, forward all the time. Mm-hmm. So it's not a bad time. It's just you can't do what you would normally do. It's a time to reset, regroup, all the words that begin with R-E relate to what we're supposed to be doing when Mercury goes retrograde. And then the other point is that 20% of the population was born during Mercury retrograde, and I'm one of those people. So when it goes retrograde, guess what? That's my good time. That's when I feel fantastic. Everything can be signed. I can take trips. I can do everything. When it goes direct, I feel the way everyone else does when it's retrograde. So if I lived my life freaking out for 80% of every day here I'm on planet Earth because Mercury's direct, I would have a really miserable life. So that's why I think it's really important to put it in perspective what it really is.
Wow. And so you wrote a book about it. And so is Mercury in retro right now?
No.
How often does it go in retro?
Okay, the next one, February 25th to March 20th, June 29th to July 23rd, and October 24th to November 13th. Right. So in 2026, we're getting a little reprieve because it's only happening three times. Normally, it happens four times.
Okay, and how does one know if they were born when Mercury's in retro?
You can find it online. There are Mercury calculators, or you can buy my book and look in the back, and there are charts and you could look it up. But it's really, really important to know. And that's what makes me crazy about people freaking out about Mercury retrograde. It really matters if you are one, because people who were born with Mercury retrograde, we're used to things being crazy. So we are more adaptable than the average person. And also Mercury retrograde people, we think differently than other people. We're kind of going this way when everyone else is going that way, which is one reason why, as an artist and as an astrologer, Mercury retrograde has been a good thing for me, because I'm doing everything very differently than everyone else. So imagine on the highway of life, most of the time everyone's going this way and I'm in reverse going the other way until it switches, and then I get to go forward and you guys are all going backwards.
Right. Yeah. I can't remember, but I think that I'm probably born in retro as well.
You probably are, because we have very similar charts.
We do have very similar charts. What are some of the connections between emotional issues and physical ailments on a person's chart?
So in the chart, I can see whether or not someone's prone to depression. And a lot of times, or anxiety, these things that are not really pleasant. I want people to understand that it's not their fault. Mm-hmm. You're born with genetic tendencies. So if I look at you, like my chart, I have something that is generational. I can look at my mother's chart and my grandmother's chart, and you see patterns because we have DNA, and the astrology confirms that we have genetic patterns that get passed along, which is again why it is a science, because how could this be explained if it wasn't scientific at some level? So these things that we see in the chart that are physical, like I think depression is a physical thing, or anxiety. So once we know that that's what's happening, there are remedies for all of these things. And just to give you another analogy, if people are like cars and we have four tires, we want to be driving a car with four tires that are properly inflated, right? Yeah. But some of us were born with a flat tire. And I'm one of those people too. I have a totally flat tire. I have zero air in my chart. Mm. So when you have a flat tire, it means health-wise, you could have issues with things having to do with air. So for me, breathing, I had sinus surgery twice when I was in my 30s. I tend to talk, it's good for me to be on air. Like right now we're on air. This is good for me, but I don't stop a lot. I don't pause and take a deep breath because I don't really do air that well. So I have to be careful with that flat tire. If I don't add air into my life with intention, I can end up feeling like a car stuck on the side of the road. So that's one thing we can look at in a chart, and it's really helpful, is to see how the elements are working in your chart. That's a really quick, easy way to give people a quick sense of how they're designed.
So more balance for them.
Yes.
So how would one add something like air into your life with intention?
So being outside, having a home with high ceilings. So I've got high ceilings here. I need to be able to look out. I look out on a nature preserve. I need space. I'm incredibly claustrophobic, which is a sign of low air. I'm now working as a volunteer at a bird sanctuary. And every time I'm around these birds, I'm getting my air dose, and I consciously pick this place because I feel like, all right, I know I have to constantly work on air. So being in an airplane is good for me. Anything to do with the sky, anything to do with air, birds. Right now I'm looking at artwork of birds in front of me. So I'm always thinking about breathing. But my idea of hell would be to take a breath workshop.
So the reverse could be true too. So what if you have, like, for example, maybe someone has too much fire in their chart, then they should find ways to what?
Contain it.
Yeah.
Because fire wants to run amok. Mm-hmm. So people who have too much fire, sometimes they're compulsive shoppers or they're addicted to something because they want to consume. Okay. So fire is great, but we need to put it in a fireplace. And then it's cozy and nice. And then when you explain it to people using metaphor, then it helps a lot. And also when you're missing an element, it actually means you're a genius at the very thing you're missing. So air rules the mind and intellect. So like Thomas Jefferson had no air. He was very intelligent. I know I'm intelligent and I do astrology, which is basically about air and space. Think about it.
Yeah.
So people who have low fire, sometimes they become firemen, and people who have low earth, they become farmers or chefs or veterinarians. You become really good at the thing you're missing.
Right.
But you're also out of whack with it at the same time.
Right. So another thing that I hear people saying, people are always like, for example, my sign, I'm a Leo, right? By the month that I was born. But then people are always telling me, but what is your moon sign? What is your rising sign? What is your ascending sign? So what's the importance of all those different signs? Because you're not just one thing, right?
Exactly. You're a combination of many, many different things. And right now, very popular with the younger generation, they all want to know your ascendant, your sun sign, and your moon sign. So here's what those three mean.
Okay.
Your sun sign is probably the least interesting thing. So you're a Leo, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's like saying you're a Mercedes, all right? But okay. I don't know if you're an SUV or a little two-door, you know, convertible. It doesn't give me enough information.
Okay.
The rising sign tells me what you're like when you're meeting somebody for the first time. So for me, I have Leo rising. So you're a Leo sun sign, but I'm Leo rising. So it means that when I first meet people, I'm like, dun, da, 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 here I am. I look like I'm very outgoing and larger than life, but I'm a Cancer. Cancers are hermits. They live in their little house and they hide. So you would think I was a Leo because of the way I'm acting right now, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't really necessarily act like a Leo. So your rising sign, I don't remember what it is, but it tells us how you are perceived when you're like on a stage or you're in front of people or like at a party. So that's super important because it's very key to understand how people see you.
Okay.
So the other one that's even more important is your moon. So the moon tells me all about your mother, and it also tells me about how you deal with emotions. So the moon loves to be in water signs. Why is that? Because the moon regulates all the bodies of water on planet Earth, and water tears are emotions. So it tells us how you deal with emotions. So if you have your moon in fire, like Leo, the moon's not as happy there because fire evaporates water.
Mm-hmm.
Water puts out fire, but it tells me how you're going to react when you're emotionally upset. So for relationships, you need to know what the person you're with, how they match with you at an emotional level, because it's very difficult. If your moon is in water and you're living with someone whose moon is in fire, the fire person's going to try to put out the water all the time and mm-hmm. evaporate it. So, and not that that's bad. Like my sister has her moon in fire. I've had to teach her through astrology that when I'm upset, don't try to talk me out of it.
Right.
Because that's what fire people want to do. They want to help by getting rid of it.
Right. I do know that my moon is Sagittarius, so I'm not exactly.
Fire. Yeah.
It's fire.
Yeah. So that means when someone's going on and on and on about some depressing thing that happened to them, and you're like, you're over it. You want to just say, time to move on.
Okay.
You don't have a lot of tolerance for people who soak and soak and soak in their emotions.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. So, let me ask another thing is, let's say someone is, going through a hard time or they're at a crossroads in their life or they feel stuck. What is a piece of wisdom from astrology that can help them?
To understand that everything is just weather and we have periods of our lives that are really difficult. We all get them and we can't get angry when there's a snowstorm or pouring rain. We accept it because we live on a planet where that happens and we have that in life as well. So astrology brings peace and comfort because it tells you you're not crazy. You're getting hit right now by this very difficult thing. And it helps a lot in relationships too. Like I work with a lot of corporate executives around hiring people. You want to try to use astrology to make your life easier. So not only understanding when bad things happen, how to deal with that, how to prepare for it. And even in my own chart, when I see a difficult weather pattern coming, I prepare just like I would with my house or my car, I'd prepare.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. No, that totally makes sense. I think that totally makes sense. I do want to talk about, something else. You wrote, a book and it's called If Rocks Could Sing. And
yes.
I find this is, it's fascinating that you spent 10 years collecting rocks that look like letters of the alphabet on the, was it on the beach?
On the beach in Vero Beach, Florida, yes.
What possessed you to do that?
Well, Barry, I was in love with a guy and I wanted to write him a love letter using rocks. So okay. I was trying to write out messages and I was missing a few letters, so I kept going. So that's how it started. It was because I was in love and I was trying to be playful and clever. And who wouldn't want, you know, a love message written in stone?
Yeah. So, surely, though, at the end of the 10 years, you had moved on to someone new.
I had moved on for sure. Yeah. So anyway, then it became like this obsession, like, okay, I'm halfway there. I might as well find the whole alphabet.
Another question for you. I feel that today people are more overwhelmed than in my lifetime. People feel more overwhelmed and disillusioned and sad. What do you think is the reason for that?
That's the great thing about astrology, because astrologer is a good one. We are tour guides. We are navigators. We can think about astrology in the old days. It was how people sailed their ships. So again, when people discount astrology, I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. It was used as a navigational tool for a long time, and it was very accurate. So it's a navigational tool, not fortune telling. It helps us here on this earth. So this particular time is extremely difficult from an astrological point of view, because we are going through massive changes. We don't like it when life as we know it all of a sudden just on a dime just flips over and changes. Now, that happened with COVID. Mm-hmm. I saw that coming before it happened. I didn't know exactly what it was. Looking at the patterns heading into the future. And I said, well, life as we know it's going to be totally different. And I knew it had something to do with the element of air. And it was an airborne virus. It was invisible. You can't see it. You can't see air. Right. So now this last year, 2025, was brutal because so many of these outer planets shifted into a whole new place. That is not comfortable. You talk about not liking Mercury retrograde because you have to go into reverse. Well, last year was like getting the rug pulled out from under you times five. And never has this ever happened, you know, for hundreds of years. I don't even know if it ever happened before, where that many big changes happened all at once. So what happens is that you feel jostled around. You feel like you're unsafe. You don't feel like you're grounded. And it's slowly starting to get a little better. I just told you before we started recording that this month of January and February, not easy at all. It gets a little better by the spring. But as long as you know that in some weird way, Barry, we're supposed to be going through this right now.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I do think astrology brings comfort. We have to go through this in order to come out on the other side. And is it fun? No, because it feels very unfamiliar and we all feel a little wounded by it all. And people don't have the spiritual or the deeper tools. Some people do, but a lot of people don't have they don't have the inner guidance system or an understanding of what's happening in order to be okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
But if we look at it like it's happening for a reason, you're not crazy and we'll get through it.
Okay, so wow, I could probably talk to you for 3 hours, but I don't think our listeners would want to hear. I think my listeners would be fine listening to you, but not me for that long. So, but tell us, you're going to be at the ranch soon, aren't you?
Yes, the week of January 24th. Yes, I'll be presenting.
That's
I haven't presented there for quite a while, so I've been mostly bringing individual astrology groups, and I love teaching people how to read charts. I'll be doing that the third week of June if anyone's interested in that. But January 24th, it's for the whole ranch doing astrology.
That's wonderful. We're so excited to have you. I am personally excited to have you, and I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today. And I'll see you. It's only 2 weeks away. That's awesome.
I know. I'll see you in 2 weeks. So I look forward to seeing you too.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Before I met Leslie, I knew about astrology. I mean, I know I'm born in August, so I know I'm a Leo. I know some of the basic traits of Leos. I know my birthstone's a Peridot. And I always liked reading the daily or weekly horoscopes and magazines and newspapers. but I know that they're mostly just for entertainment, and they're fun. Leslie points out that astrology is an esoteric science, and it's been around for thousands of years. She is also quick to point out it's not about fortune telling or predictions. I liked her analogy that your astrological chart could be looked at as an owner's manual to how you navigate this life. She has found that she's been able to help doctors, therapists, and her clients to understand their uniqueness and how they relate to others and themselves in the world. I have also found, as I've gotten older, that one of the secrets to growing and learning is to have a lot of curiosity. I'm approaching astrology with a lot of curiosity, and I have a little more appreciation for it than I used to, and I want to learn more about it. For this new year, I hope that you have lots of things that you want to be curious about and new horizons. Until I see you again, I'm wishing you health and daily joy.